My counsellor told me firsts were hard. First Christmas, first birthday, and now today, 18th of April, the first anniversary of my dad's death, and the first day of school holidays. My classmates were probably warm in their beds, still asleep, not freezing in the middle of nowhere with their family beside a ditch. I tucked the bunch of flowers under my chin, the cellophane wrap crinkling loudly in my ear as I struggled to zip up my crimson anti-kidnapping jacket. It had shrunk since I wore it last summer at Dunedin Airport, the sleeves now three quarters. In my other hand, I gripped my tablet with my grandma, Nai Nai, on video call from Shanghai. She yelped in alarm as I juggled zip, flowers and the tablet with my numb fingers, trying not to drop her on the tar-sealed road below. "Hold on," I said, hoping she wasn't getting too dizzy. Finally, the zip gave way and I pulled it up as far as I could, probably jamming it again, but I was so cold I didn't care. Mum didn't turn around. Her blonde hair was in a pretty French braid rather than her usual one-minute ponytail, thanks to Uncle Pike, who was a celebrity stylist, though, as Mum said, just not for himself. I was almost as tall as Mum now, although she was pretty short, and Mrs. Brown, our next-door neighbour, had stopped calling me Little China Doll, but that could have been more to do with her granddaughter Melanie calling her racist than me turning 12. Mum stood on the bank, facing the Clutha River, wide and deep. Its emerald surface appeared calm, yet underneath it seethed, racing towards the sea. Leftover morning fog drifted in and out, hiding under the willows, reaching out but never quite touching us or the white cross half buried in the thick grass. Dad's cross. Somehow it seemed smaller, not big enough to mark such an important spot, 2 kilometres out of Riverstone on the flat. Dad had been driving toward the freezing works in the middle of the night in the opposite direction to home. Behind me, Uncle Pike and Devon whispered something. They had arrived from Sydney last night and had slept in our living room, their first time back to Riverstone since Christmas. My uncle hadn't changed. He still looked like a tattooed Santa on steroids, but I got a shock when I saw Devon. He'd gone from Action Man to a Lala Loopsy doll. His bulging muscles no longer bulged, and his head and hair were now the biggest part of him, just like my friend Todd Landers when he had hair. But what had changed the most was Devon didn't seem to be his usual sparkly self, and I didn't know why. I scrunched my toes inside my boots, then stamped on the spot like a bad dancer. My feet were so frozen they felt wet. Nai Nai coughed. I held the tablet up to my face and smiled. She peered back, close up to her camera. Her huge white frame glasses reminded me of 2 old television screens. I so wish she'd been able to come. Mum's head turned slightly. She watched me from the corner of her eye. "Be careful with that thing, Tippy," she said, her words turning into steamy clouds and drifting behind her. "Now she says it," Nai Nai muttered in Mandarin, rubbing her forehead. I thought I would vomit. I tried not to laugh. Mum whipped around. "What did she say?" Nai Nai stared blankly at her. I shrugged. Mum forced a smile. "You know what? Never mind." She stepped back and touched my shoulder. "Come on." I glanced over at Uncle Pike, who mouthed, "Love you, Tippy Chan." He was dressed like Santa at a funeral, with a Russian-style furry hat and a big black coat, whereas Devon looked like he was going to the gym in shorts and a black t-shirt with Nancy's in white writing across the front. It was the one he had made last summer, with the outline of a lady with big boobs spreading her legs and high heels to form the letter N. Devon shivered. "Sorry," he whispered to me. "It was the only black top I could find." I told him it was okay, trying not to giggle. Mum wasn't impressed. She took my arm and we stepped off the highway and down the short gravel verge. She knelt down and put her dozen red roses beside the white cross. Mum murmured something only Dad could hear. She stood up slightly, then stayed frozen in the same spot. We waited silently behind her. It was so quiet out here. The only sounds were crickets chirping, the odd bird call, and the soft gurgling of the river. Across the water, yellowy-orange poplars glowed in autumn gold. Mum reached out and touched the cross, then pushed herself up and turned and gave me a nod, waving me over. I stepped down from the verge and laid my flowers next to her red roses. Nainai had told me to get white chrysanthemums because we're Chinese. I didn't try to argue with her that I'm a Kiwi. She and Dad were from China, but Mum was a Pākehā, and I was born in New Zealand. On screen, Nainai hissed and made a pushing gesture at the side of Mum's flowers. I told you no red. Mum's strong, cold fingers gripped my hand and lifted the tablet up to her face while I still clung to it. Joe bought me red roses. They mean love, she said. It's a bit late to be superstitious now. I pulled the tablet away from Mum. Nainai muttered something and shook her head. I remembered their huge arguments after Dad died. Nainai's visa hadn't come through in time, and she missed saying goodbye to Dad at the hospital when they turned off his life support. By the time she had arrived, Mum and Uncle Pike had organised the funeral. Nainai had wanted us to wear white and for me to speak at it, but Mum refused. Mum also wouldn't listen when Nainai wanted Dad buried. Instead, Mum cremated him. After we had scattered his ashes off Riverstone Bridge, Nainai left for Shanghai straight away. They'd basically stopped speaking to each other by then anyway. Behind Mum's back, Devon grimaced and quickly ripped off all the red flower heads from the colourful bouquet he and Uncle Pike had bought. My uncle held open his black jacket pocket while Devon stuffed them in. Why don't we do this at the bridge, I asked Mum, like last year. She stiffened but ignored me. The noise of a vehicle came from the direction of town. Even from far away, it drowned out the gentle sound of the river. I turned my back to the road to avoid the passenger stairs. I couldn't stand any more pity. The sun warmed my neck as the vehicle came closer, louder and louder, until it roared past. Mr. Jansen's dirty white van with Mr. Tulips written in green on the side, except the letter I, which was a picture of a red tulip. I watched his van disappear, the tinted back windows brown with mud and dust. I always had trouble believing Dad had crashed here, alone, a straight road with no other vehicles, not drunk. It had been foggy, but still, none of it made any sense. None of it seemed real. Why was Dad driving out here? I asked Mum. Where was he going? She sighed. We've been over this a million times. She bowed her head and was silent. On screen, Nainai did the same. I bowed mine too and stood still, wanting to feel at least close to sad, but I just felt cold and annoyed with Mum. I closed my eyes, trying to picture a happy Dad memory. Instead, I got the last time I saw him before his accident. Dad sitting in his car, his tired face horrified as he watched me realize he had stolen all my savings. His car's red taillights disappearing as I hurled my empty piggy cap money box after him. I shook my head to clear it, focusing on what we didn't know. Why was he here so early on a Sunday morning? What was he doing? He was lucky, if you can call it that. A half-buried log had bellied his car and stopped it, and Dad, from ending up in the river. A passerby had found him behind the wheel, unconscious, and he was flown to Dunedin Hospital by chopper, but he never woke up again. I opened my eyes. Mum and Nainai had lifted their heads, so I did the same. I searched for the log, but it was hidden in the long grass. Uncle Pike and Devon came forward and laid their flowers next to the cross. Devon shivered and rubbed his bare arms. Nainai stared at him. He noticed her and nodded, giving her a smile. She gave him a slight nod in return. Devon leaned in to Uncle Pike, trying to snuggle. Told you it would be cold, my uncle said as he opened his coat. Devon moved closer, trying to wrap the jacket around the both of them. Hello, Uncle Pike yelled at Nainai. He pointed to his head. Pike, remember me? He waved as she glared at him. Her hearing's actually quite good, I said. Isn't it, Nainai? She smiled at me. I introduced her to Devon, who held out his hand to the tablet. Very pleased to meet you, Devon said. I translated in Mandarin. Nainai wanted me to practice any chance I got. She watched him and nodded. I was so sad to hear about your son, Devon said. I wish I'd got the chance to meet Joe, as he sounded like an amazing person. Devon looked at me when he said this and gave my hand a squeeze. Nainai waited as I translated. I gave Devon a little smile to say thank you. Also, please tell her that I love her glasses. They're super stylish, very fashion forward. I told Nainai. She grinned and told me that he was handsome and kind, I translated. Devon got a little teary and asked if he could give her a hug. She asked me what he'd said, but before I could answer, I was engulfed in a bear hug. Nine Eye on the tablet squashed between us. Devin gently pulled back and wiped his eyes. Nine Eye clucked and said something in Mandarin that I couldn't pick up.